Hey there, welcome back to the Electric City Magazine podcast. This time around, we'll be talking about participatory planning and GreenUp's Neighbor Plan initiative. Glad to have you listening. A few weeks ago, three neighbors in the north end of Peterborough were standing outside in their neighborhood on a hot June afternoon.
Hi, I'm Carolyn Code.
Carlota James.
Marilyn Freeman.
Carolyn, Carlota, and Marilyn were discussing some of the ways they wanted to see their neighborhood improved. From a city planning and urban design perspective, they had lots of ideas for how to make their neighborhood more livable. Standing at the corner of Chesterfield and Downey Streets, the first thing they talked about was the intersection right in front of them.
What I see here is an intersection in four directions that is giant size, in which one of these directions is not even monitored by a stop sign. The curves are very big. The cars can just whip around the corner, immediately putting into danger any kind of active transportation, whether it's pedestrian or cyclist or whatever. And so one of the things that could be done here is something to just narrow it all up. And it could even be paint on the road. It could be bringing out one of these corners at the very least to more of a right angle so that it could be into a little park or planted up. Just anything to slow the traffic down and make it safer.
It's really awkward. Like, it's unusually big. So you often see that cars almost don't really know where to stop or, like, how far they should be pulling forward. And just as a pedestrian crossing the street, it's just large and confusing. Like, if another car is coming, you're not really sure, like, who's supposed to stop, who's supposed to go. So it would be good if it was sort of, like, closed in more.
And if you're on a bike, it's even worse because the cars have no idea what to do and the bikes definitely have no idea.
These three neighbors, along with many others who live near them in the Brookdale-Jackson Park neighborhood, are participating in GreenUp's Neighbor Plan program, an initiative that is supporting neighbors and helping them to come together to generate ideas to improve their neighborhood. The goal is to get citizens engaged in the planning process and help them become comfortable articulating their priorities to the professional planners at City Hall. It's called participatory planning, and I asked the executive director of GreenUp, Brianna Salmon, to tell me more about it.
So participatory planning is an approach that works to engage residents in planning active, livable, and green communities. And the key idea is that residents' lived experience and knowledge, local knowledge of their neighborhood, is a really critical input into effective planning process alongside expert knowledge such as we get from planners and architects and engineers. So what we try and do when supporting participatory planning, recognizing that, you know, the planners and the engineers and the architects are already at the table informing decisions about what kinds of designs and infrastructure are implemented in communities, is to try and support the resident voice and to support residents in developing the language, and the tools, and the confidence to participate in planning processes.
So I was on a neighborhood walk in the Brookdale neighborhood where we explored some of the ideas that the residents had come up with through this process, and it struck me that the process had brought a lot of neighbors together in ways that might not have happened otherwise. Can you speak a little bit about that?
Yeah, I think one of the things that makes this kind of work successful is having sort of that, like, social infrastructure, social relationships in neighborhoods so that people feel like they're not just standing alone, that there's sort of a shared understanding of what they want for their neighborhood, and that is shared with the people who also live in that neighborhood. And I think that in many conventional planning processes, it can feel intimidating to participate. And if you face barriers to public engagement, And those barriers could be, you know, they could be linguistic barriers, they could be economic barriers. There's all kinds of things that might make somebody feel like, you know, I don't have the agency to participate in this process. And so we sort of work to try and create a space where, you know, we are making these kinds of processes really accessible and sort of centering people's experiences, whatever those experiences are, and helping them to make the connections between, you know, their like lived experience walking down the sidewalk on their way to work or on the way to the store or taking their kid to school or whatever it is they're doing in their neighborhood, helping them to think about how that experience is something that's really valued and legitimate and necessary in a planning process that might inform, you know, that neighborhood.
Residents of the Brookdale-Jackson Park neighborhood have said they'd like a new grocery store in the area, and they've identified a few locations where parks might be built. One of the biggest concerns, though, is slowing traffic down on Wolseley Street.
But I've been writing to my councillors for years now to slow traffic down on Wolseley. There's a crossing guard there and school buses that stop there for decades. And since my son started going to school to Highland Heights is there as well, I've noticed almost an accident a week. I mean it, an accident a week with either the crossing guard getting hit, kids almost getting hit, cars not slowing down, cars not noticing the crossing guard out there with her sign. And so what they do when they come along Fairbairn, they just book it all the way down Wolseley because they know there's no stop signs. They can maybe even go through Chemung. So I guess that's my biggest thing is how do we slow traffic down and just change policy to make it 30 instead of 50?
I'm going to say that I've also written to the councillors about the exact same intersection. I've talked to other people in the neighborhood who've done the same thing. And we all kind of get different brush off kind of answers. Like mine was pretty much like, thanks for your information, thanks for your feedback, and that was it to both of them. And it seems like everyone has the same feeling about it, and especially in the winter time crossing it, because there's a bit of a downhill slope and it's completely covered in ice, so to have cars be going that fast in front of you is just kind of, it's scary,
terrifying.
It's dangerous.
Yep. Yeah.
These three residents say they haven't had good experiences engaging with their city councillors up until now. The neighbor plan is hoping to change how Peterborough residents engage with the city. So I asked Brianna what City Hall's role should be in planning processes like this.
And the city has been really open to supporting and participating directly in the Neighbour Plan and Active Neighbourhoods Canada projects. City staff actually sit on the supporting steering committee and attend lots of the resident events and resident steering committee meetings. And in a lot of neighborhoods, I think that's really legitimized the project because it shows that, you know, the city is interested in enabling this kind of work and that they're open to taking different roles when that makes sense. And so in a project like Neighbor Plan, the role of the city isn't, you know, to dominate that process, and they don't. The role of the city is to, you know, is to support residents in sort of better understanding how the processes at the city work, to understand what some of the limitations around conventional planning processes might be, and also to just develop real relationships with city staff, which I think can be, if you don't, you know, if you're not like sort of working in the sector, or if you don't have sort of a related professional role, can be a really intimidating thing. And so the folks that we've had involved from the city, and it's sort of been the same two core staff people that have supported the project over the last almost 3 years, have done like a really wonderful job of, you know, of playing that supporting role, of listening to residents, of helping residents to understand the planning processes, but not in a way that sort of takes over. And so, yeah, I think the city has been quite supportive of this project. And then one of the other things that we sort of have conversations about with the city that I think is really important is like, how can some of the practices that we are experimenting with and have the privilege of experimenting with in this project inform some of the planning processes that are undertaken at the municipality? And the community well-being plan is an interesting example of where they have tried to engage more diverse resident voices in different ways and have really experimented with some new approaches to planning that, are a bit more participatory and do give people the chance to engage or to try engaging in new ways. And the official plan sort of as well has had some innovative and interesting engagement approaches that we don't always see in this community, but that are starting to gain traction, I think, across the country.
So as we move into the municipal election, I'm wondering how the principles of participatory planning might be incorporated into the kinds of discussions that we have during the election, and how those principles can kind of be just incorporated into our discourse.
Yeah, I mean, I guess one of the things we sort of hope will be an outcome of this kind of work is that residents themselves will feel more confident engaging in public processes of all kinds, including elections, but also in sharing and articulating their expectations, their experiences, their desires for this community, and in feeling like those are valid, like that their experience living in this community is a valid one, and that it should inform the way that our community looks moving forward. I think in this most recent provincial election, voter turnout was pretty high. Pretty high is, there's still just slightly fewer than half of the population that's not voting. So I think there's obviously a real need to get people out, to get people engaged, to make them feel like, their voice is important and matters and should be part of these conversations. That's something that we hope that this work will do, not specifically to influence the conversation in any one direction, but just to encourage and support a diversity of voices.
I have called the councillors together to a meeting saying, we have a vision for Chemung, it's not yours, it's ours. And we think that your vision is not a healthy one, and it doesn't create healthy community, it's creating a car sewer right into downtown. So here's our vision. And I did not get a good response from our two councillors, both of whom are running again for council in the fall. And so this is just yet another way of coming at it, making them hear our voices.
Yeah. And it's interesting because, like what you said, you have a healthier vision and you also live here. So of course you do. it's like someone coming from the outside saying this is how it should be done. That never works, you know?
Brookdale Jackson Park is the second neighborhood to participate in GreenUp's neighbor plan, and the program just launched in the downtown Jackson Creek neighborhood as well. A little later, it'll run in the Tallwood Towers neighborhood. That's all for the Electric City Magazine podcast this time around. Thanks a lot for listening. If you're curious about the music you hear in the background, it's by Nick Ferrio. Head over to his Bandcamp to support him. And if you want to support us, Electric City Magazine, and the citizen-led journalism we're practicing, go to our Patreon page where you can sign up to become a monthly patron. Bye for now.